Good morning. Welcome to Local Matters. This is Ben Rogers. So excited to have Miss Lauren Wheaton, the City of Cooper Mayor. Good morning, Lauren.
Good morning. Good to see you.
Good to see you. Thank you for being here. I love having you on. It's budget time.
We're going to try to make it exciting to talk about.
Yeah, exactly. middle of the calendar year, end of the fiscal year for cities and counties alike, actually. And I'd love to have you on as an update. I can't remember the last time you were on, but we always try to have you on at least two or three times a year. So thankful you're here. I do want to start out by talking about something really important that happened Monday night for a lot of Tennessee fans, University of Tennessee fans. And I'm not rubbing it in, Mayor.
Oh,
I'm not.
Because no.
I know that your husband graduated from UT.
Went to UT,
You're an Ole Miss graduate, mm-hmm. and of course, what a wonderful university Ole Miss is. But you don't hate University of Tennessee.
I don't hate the University of Tennessee. And so I want to say welcome to the club, because you know we won the national championship in baseball in 2022. So welcome.
Yeah.
Come on over to the national championship side.
Thank you.
It's nice. Not that we have a lot to brag about with that championship.
Baseball has always been a popular sport.
Oh, yeah. My son plays it. My husband coaches it.
Yeah, travel ball's crazy for youth. But the College World Series has gained more popularity over the last probably 20 years. And I think it's a big deal for UT to win it.
Huge deal. I mean, we are UT fans, but I'm not an Ole Miss fan. I will wear that orange if I have to.
I have done it before.
Yes. Yeah. But it was really exciting because we were watching the game with my son and my husband, and everyone was screaming and yelling, even me. And so it's really fun to celebrate all the accomplishments of Tennessee. And so, yes, you can wear the national championship hat for a little bit now.
I think we'll celebrate for a little bit. So, before we move on to the city of cool business, what are the famous phrases for Ole Miss? Hotty toddy.
Is there
anything else?
There is a saying that says, we may not win every game, but we ain't never lost a party.
Okay.
Which, unfortunately, yes. Sometimes does, is all Ole Miss has, is the party in the Grove afterwards.
Yeah, and I have a lot of friends that attended Ole Miss or graduated, and they say it's a great place to get an education. A great education and a beautiful campus,
beautiful experience, yes. But now we also say, in fact, I have two footballs that we put on our front door in football season, and one football says Hotty Toddy, and the other one says Go Vols.
Yeah.
So we are a true house divided, and I celebrate all the wins, but yeah.
If I remember the Ole Miss championship 2 years ago, well, they were like,
barely got in. We were like the last pick into the. Yeah, we had done well and then kind of fell apart at the end. We were like one of the last picks to get into the tournament.
Yeah.
And then went on to win it.
Yeah.
And funny story, we were in Gatlinburg when that was happening with my family, and my brother looked at us and he said, I've got to go. I've got to go to the national championship. And we all went, yeah, you do. So his family drove from Gatlinburg all the way to Omaha to get to the second game on Saturday, and then watched him win on Sunday. We were all crying.
My husband
did not understand what was going on. But maybe now he gets it because y'all have got your national championship.
Yeah, that's a cool story.
Yeah, it was really cool.
What's the drive from Gatlinburg to Omaha?
It took 2 days. We were on a family vacation. We were supposed to be there all weekend, and he loaded up and left, and we didn't blame him
at all.
That's
dedication.
Yeah, and we got to watch on FaceTime as they won. So
Good. Well, congratulations, University of Tennessee baseball.
Very exciting.
Coach Fatello was here, I guess, in the winter to speak to the Upperman High School.
Yeah, to the Upperman High School, and I've heard he's a wonderful guy. Yeah, I mean, couldn't happen to a better
pretty
team.
Pretty cool. So let's talk about City of Cooper. There's been a lot going on. As always, y'all are very active. You're proactive. I will say, during your time on the council and now mayor, you all have done such a good job trying to get ahead of things. As the county, right? I talk about this every time you're on. We work really well together.
Yes.
We try to support each other as much as the law allows us to do that. And then we try to be proactive, right, instead of reactive. And so y'all have been doing that. So I want to start with the budget process. How was the budget this year? I know y'all approved it this month,
yep,
right?
We just did our second reading, so we've approved it now. I have to give, again, our department heads and our finance department all the credit because they do such an amazing job at taking a look because, you know, most of our revenue comes from sales tax, which is not something that's always dependable. You can't say, we know we're going to get this amount of money. So we always budget. I think we're budgeting, you know, we bring in about 52% of our revenue comes from sales tax alone. And so we always kind of keep it on the low end as well. We don't want to over-speculate how how much we're going to collect so that when we do collect more, it's a good thing. Mm-hmm. But in case we don't collect enough, we've got everything budgeted. So we did a great job with that. We've got some really big projects coming up. We're going to build two new fire stations. Fire station 2 and 3 are both over 50 years old.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Need an improvement.
Where are those located
so
at?
So fire station 3 is on Gould.
Okay.
Right back there. And so we bought some property back there.
Oh,
and
yes.
Going to start that. And then fire station 2 is on Washington Avenue.
Okay.
And so we've got some property over there. So two new fire stations, huge, big projects.
Well, that's coming out of the capital projects budget, I guess.
Yep. Okay. That's coming out. And then we've also got some big items we're buying. We've got, you know, some garbage trucks that we need that we also can fit with snow plows. So,
Really?
Yeah. So if anything happens like it did last winter, we will be prepared for that.
You would think I would know, being in county government. I didn't know garbage trucks could be fitted with
snow
plows.
You can fit that. Yes, you can fit certain ones with snow. So we bought the fittings for that. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, right. So in case that big snow happens, watch, it won't snow again.
No.
The entire time I'm in office, probably.
So, I mean, we're not weather folks, right? You and I are not paid to do the weather. We're not paid to do anything, really.
No, but, really,
so,
right,
on the radio. But my wife and I were walking the day, and we saw, like, I'm telling you, 100 woolly worms.
Oh, yeah.
And it's in June. I have no idea. I know what it means, like, in the
late
fall
or
something.
Yeah.
They were both. Okay. I don't know what that means. I have no... And she's like, it's going to be the worst winter ever. I'm like... How do you know that? So do you know?
No, my mother-in-law does, because okay. I will actually message her and I'm like, all right, we saw black woolly worm. What does that mean? And that means either a harsh winter or early winter or something. But I have no clue. So.
I saw both, but I saw a ton.
So I guess it's going to be it's all weather.
Yeah. And
it's Tennessee, so that's normal.
Yeah. So anyway, there's your weather update from Warren.
Yes, there you go. You have all seasons here.
But so, yeah. I think it's awesome that y'all, again, I didn't know the snowplow could go on a garbage truck, but you trying to find ways to save money. You could have bought... a truck just for a snowplow, but you also have dump trucks, but they may not be
exactly
capable.
You know, we try to be very resourceful with what we have. And again, I have to give our department head so much credit, because they come to us and say, here, you know, here's the things we need. These are things we can hold off on. And they're so smart to say, hey, we know that this truck, for instance, it's not going to be ready until 2025, but we can go ahead and tag it at this price. And so we'll go ahead and put that in the budget. Hey, let's budget for this. Not going to come out until, you know, the next fiscal round, but we're going ahead and planning for it so we can get that equipment in time. Because, you know, getting equipment and stuff sometimes is hard. It really holds up.
It's the backlog on equipment, big purchases, fire trucks, chassis for ambulances, snowplow, the garbage trucks, all that stuff. We run our sanitation department. You know that. And we're trying to find equipment for them. And we've been on backlog for 2 years.
And that's another thing. We own all utilities. So we have to buy all the utility trucks. We've got to buy all the equipment. We've got to make sure we've got those supplies and those backups. Because when a truck goes down, we're down a truck. And so we want to make sure that we've got one that we can rotate through. These trucks have, you know, a certain amount of life in them. So all the department heads are real good at making sure this is what we need. This is what we're planning for. And so we were able to pass our budget with another pay raise, which is something always proud of. Big one for fire and police.
Okay.
Yep. We're still trying to get up. You know, I think y'all are kind of in the same boat. We were behind a little bit. We're trying to catch up. So we're doing pay increases for employees, city police and fire, you know, really important to get them bumped up. And so it's going to be a really big, you know, a good improvement for our city employees.
So I'm not sure I even mentioned, I had Mayor Porter on last week. I usually try to have you and him back to back because I want the Putnam County
Cooval up.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Oh, man.
We'll save the best for last, Lauren.
Oh, okay. There you go. You saved yourself. Yeah,
exactly.
To go.
but we did. We haven't approved our budget like you all have. We do that next month in July.
Well, your budget's so huge,
It is. There's a lot going on. But we did put in budget committee $1,000 extra cost of living raise because
I saw that.
Part of that was what you all had done. Mm-hmm. You kind of inspire us and also push the bar up so we can, you know, we love y'all, but we don't want to lose our people to you.
No,
you don't want to lose your people to us.
We want them to stay in Putnam County.
Stay in the city. So we're proposing that increase. I think it's good. I've been pro-employee. I know you are too.
Yeah.
We've talked about that, of how our employees are what make our services work. So you were able to do that. No property tax increase
this year. Yeah, really excited about that.
Y'all did one last year, like we did, right?
We did one last year. Yeah, and we are taking some of the we're taking some money and put it into the state street aid fund, so we can continue to do some of these, you know, road improvement projects that we're doing. Because as Cookeville grows, obviously infrastructure, like you said, being proactive is one of the most important things. So we're making sure that we're getting those roads ready, doing the widenings when we need to, improving areas that we can. So when that growth happens in those areas, we're already ready for it.
Yeah, and so we're going to talk about the road changes, parking changes, and later on in the show. Because there's a lot happened there.
A lot happened in the city. It's good stuff, though. It's growing pains right now, but I promise it's going to be okay.
It is, and it's part of existing and moving forward.
Yes.
The budget process for you all is, and I mention this every time, but it's different for you all than it is for the county. You do two readings, right? Because that's
readings,
what your charter says.
Yeah, we do the two readings, have everybody present to us. Most of all of our departments are under one, as well as our general fund, everything with that. Then we also approve the hospital's budget, because the hospital is quote unquote owned by the city, but it is its own entity. So the main thing that the city council does with the hospital, we just approve the budget, as well as putting board members on. So we have to approve their budget, which is, huge budget.
Right.
And then, ours as well. So we just do the two readings, but we also have open work sessions with our budget meetings so people can come and hear that.
Well, and I think that's good. And you have people there to listen.
Because y'all have a budget committee, don't
we
y'all?
We do. Yeah. We have a 9-member budget committee, and we try to work, efficiently and hard as quick as we can get the budget done. This year was a lot easier.
Yeah.
Because we're not raising taxes.
Because you're not? Yes. Uh-huh. Look at that.
We didn't want to raise taxes. Y'all did.
Neither one of us wanted to. Yeah.
But no, it was a little bit easier. We still got to prove our budget. But some of the questions I get from people, citizens in Cookeville and the county, is why does the city of Cookeville pass theirs on two readings and why does the county not? Well, the simple answer is y'all have a charter that says this is what you do. And most cities do that, folks. I will say that. In county government, the Tennessee Code Annotated says once that body, legislative body, proves it by majority vote, it's done.
Oh, okay. See, I didn't know
so
that.
So it's one reading.
One reading.
Majority vote. So out of 24 commissioners in Putnam County, 13 had to vote yes. And once they do it one time, it's done.
That's it.
There's no two readings. And there are a couple counties that forget that. Yeah, there's one in Upper Cumberland. I will not say who they are. The last year had two readings of the budget. And I'm like,
oh, you don't have to do that.
No, you already passed the budget the first time. So. Yeah. We try to give people information here.
And we have a public hearing on ours. You're able to cut. Well, and actually that changed last year. The legislation changed for us, where we are supposed to allow for comments after every agenda item, which we did anyway, really. Mm-hmm. But that was a public hearing where you are allowed to come speak. No one came to speak, so I guess everyone's okay with it.
Well, in county government, the public hearings required if you raise taxes above the certified tax rate, which is another story. But if we were to raise taxes this year, which is not in the plan,
we wouldn't
have to have a public hearing because we already raised the tax above the certified tax rate. Anyway,
this
is Ben Rogers. I'm with Mayor Lauren Wheaton from the city of Cookeville. She's giving us updates on the city. We'll be back in a moment after this break. Welcome back to Local Matters. Ben Rogers here with the city of Cookeville Mayor, Miss Lauren Wheaton. Thank you again, Lauren, for being here.
It's a pleasure.
We've discussed the budget process. They've approved a budget for the fiscal year 2025. No tax increase on property taxes. A lot of projects you mentioned. Some things y'all have been working on this current, we're at fiscal year end, right? We're ending in just a couple of days. Y'all started working on it. One of those things have been parking changes. And I say that hesitantly because some people have, it takes them a little bit to adjust.
Yes. Right. Yes.
But I want you to talk about the whole idea of why parking changed on Cedar. Is there anything else coming up? Give people an idea where they can park. So what was the process on changing the parking situation on Cedar?
So, I hope when people understand what the whole process is and what we're trying to do, it'll make better sense as to we didn't just take parking away because we don't want people to have places to park. Obviously, that is not the case at all. This is a long project that's been happening for a while for Cedar Street for a beautification process. Cedar is that great avenue where, honestly, you look one way, you see Tech and you see the hospital. You look the other way, you see the west side. So it's a really great connector of two wonderful parts of Cookeville. And so this was a process that's been happening for a long time where we did sidewalk improvements, we did paving improvements, and then we also wanted to add bike lanes. Bike lanes, that is something that we get a lot of requests for. The area is not the most bike friendly, pedestrian friendly, and this is an area that we do see a lot of pedestrian traffic and a lot of bike traffic. And so we wanted to help improve that and make it accessible for all. And so what we did, and we actually, to let people know, we talked to the businesses beforehand. We let them know that this was happening. We had meetings. They met with individual businesses as well as groups. We let them know what was happening. We did not get any complaints about it.
Good.
So moving forward, if there are, we definitely want to hear those. But I do want people to know, we talked to everybody before this, and we always do. We don't just walk in somewhere and take over. We want to make sure that this is good for that area and for that community. So we talked to them before. Everyone was okay with it. So we went ahead with the plan. We removed the parallel parking on Cedar because, one, putting in bike lanes to make it more bike friendly, pedestrian friendly, and two, that really was an area that had a lot of heavy congestion and parking really did cause some problems and some headaches there. So we did take away the parallel parking. We did already add a parking lot right there where those storage units used to be.
Right.
Added free parking right there in that area. We also have parking that's down by the Biz Foundry. And then another parking lot that we've got that's going to be closer to the hospital. That's a joint project that we've done with the hospital.
Okay.
We tore down some property. They're going to help us pave it and make it parking so the hospital and the city can use it. And then we also have Dr. Mendrada's office that's right behind there. That was kind of a joint project. She said that we could use that parking when they're not using it for the clinic. Yeah, so we've got lots of parking down there, and the Leslie Town Center has parking as well. So we're still, you know, trying to make parking accessible. We actually are building another parking lot down at back behind the old Bros, that area by Regions. That's a whole area we're doing with Tech and IDB that we're making a parking lot as well. It's just a vacant lot. So we are we're adding more parking, but we're also making that area, I think, you know, a beautification project. And so we took away the parallel parking. We did realize a need for some limited mobility parking spots. And so we did add some handicap spots. I think on First is where we put some parallel spots in there. So we did address that issue. But that area is already a great place to park your car. And I feel like walk down the street, enjoy the shops, enjoy the restaurants, enjoy all the things that are around there. So for me, while yes, you may have to walk a little bit farther, and I do apologize, I think that's really going to make that area a really even more attractive area for our locals and for our visitors to come walk around and hang out and check it out. So that was a project, again, been in the works. I do apologize that some of the parking has been taken away, but we've done everything in our power to make sure that there is parking available. And, you know, that is enforced now. No parallel parking on Cedar. We will start, you know, issuing tickets just to let people know.
PSA.
This area, you're not allowed to parallel park anymore. Yep. But in the long run, I think people are going to be really impressed with what we're able to do.
Yeah, I think so. I love everything you just said. My most favorite thing is that you all met with the businesses.
Yes.
And gave them opportunity for feedback, constructive criticism if they had any. How does it affect their business? How does it impact everything? And I love that you gave them that opportunity.
Yes.
So, because you just, the council just didn't decide at that moment,
hey,
we're doing this.
Snap our fingers and take away parking. No, we talked to everybody. We talked to the people who were involved with the rail trail. We talked with our cycling friends who asked, you know, hey, we don't have any biking availability around here. And there's also the idea connecting Tech to the west side. So you have students who can bike down to the west side area and hang out, just making it more of a, again, pedestrian, biker friendly area, because we don't have a lot of those areas in Cookeville. But still, there is plenty of parking around there. You just may have to walk a little bit
farther. There's parking at the depot. There's parking beside Blood Assurance, I think.
Yep, right, there's parking at the depot.
Is it the Cookeville Gas
Department? Yeah, so, the gas department right there. Yep.
There's parking all over. And of course, Cookeville's growing. Putnam County's growing.
It is.
There's going to be times where it's hard to find a parking spot, but, you know, be patient. Enjoy yourself. I think, my opinion, this was probably a really good idea, because
I hope people see the big picture of what we're trying to accomplish.
There was some congestion. There was some people that, folks, I try not to criticize at all on this show, but some of y'all don't know how to parallel park.
Oh, I'm one of them. I will raise my hand. It is a running joke. Like, if there's a spot I'm driving by, I'm going, I cannot parallel park. So
I think I learned that. I think my daddy taught me that like at 15.
We skip that in driver's ed.
Well, when you go to Nashville and cities to work,
oh,
you kind of got to know if you want to get close to places.
Riding a scooter everywhere. I mean, I can't parallel park. So,
So let me give you a piece of information you may not know, and I should not tell this to everybody. I don't know how to ride a bike.
Really?
I tried as a kid. I fell.
Okay.
And don't, you know, and your daughter's
here. My daughter's here.
Yes,
it's bring your kid to work day.
Do not follow my example.
It's okay. You
keep
can ride
trying.
A bike, can't you?
She
doesn't
like to.
Okay, well, great. Well, so the bike lanes are not for her.
Well, and it's not for me, but I'm not selfish, but I need to learn how to ride because I'm going to Maine in August. So.
Well, yeah, you do. Well, now you've got the opportunity to practice. We've got some lanes for you on Cedar.
I don't know if I need to practice.
And then everyone can see you fall down.
Yeah, and get run over.
Yes. don't get run over.
But I think it's great. I think it's, and of course, Cedar is important. You go all the way to one end, you have Rouse, and then Dairy Queen across the street, and then you go to the other end, you have the hospital and Tech.
And Tech, yeah. It is a great corridor through the city that has some really great, you know, local flair. And so we want to attract people to that area and make it a more pedestrian friendly, bike friendly, and still consumer friendly area. And so that's what we did. We went ahead and put in extra parking. It's there. We've talked to everyone about this. This was a well thought out plan, even though some people may not agree with me, but we really did try to take this as an opportunity to improve a really cool area of Cookeville.
Mayor, let me ask you something. Does the plan, your planning commission, have input into things like this?
Oh, 100%.
Okay. So
they have input. We bring ideas to them. Yeah, okay. It is not just one person making that decision. We may come up and say, hey, this is an area we'd like to see improvement. And then you have everyone coming in. You have Public Works. You have utilities. Hey, is this an opportunity we can put power lines underneath, you know, underground? Which this, we actually looked at that in that area. We couldn't. It was going to be too much of a cost. But, you know, can we move some utilities around? Public Works. How does this help with sidewalks, with gutters, with, you know, stormwater drainage, things like that? We have community involvement. We actually had a bike plan, a group of the cyclists here in Cookeville who came to us and helped implement. This is a plan we like to see for bicycle areas. Like I said, the rail trail, having that rail trail coming through this area. So it is a multitude of people that come in when we look at these things. And then on top of that, we have our planning department that is very good at this stuff. Sure. That takes a look at, you know, we do traffic studies. We do that kind of stuff, safety studies. So this is not just a snap your finger decision. It this one's been in the works since I was in office back in 18.
Okay.
Yeah, this has been a plan. So it is a well thought out plan that's just coming to fruition now.
Is it just the process it takes so long sometimes to get something done, like the permits and all the permits,
and you've got to do the engineering and you've got to do the grading, and maybe there's land acquisition. Then you got to make sure you got enough. Do we need to do our own crew? Do we have to bid this out? Because, you know, we are limited in how many people we have to do our projects. Is it more cost efficient to have our guys doing it, or should we bid it out? Then we've got to coordinate with everybody, you know, timing on the weather and all that stuff. So there's so many working parts. I have developed such an appreciation for what goes into a simple project like bike lanes and sidewalk improvements, because it is so many things that have to come together. And let's be honest, we know those things don't always line up perfectly. Yeah. You've got the supply issues, you've got that stuff. And so there are times where there's a hiccup, but at the end, like I said, I always think once you get to the end, you can see, oh, okay, now I get what you were doing.
Yeah. Great information.
Hopefully.
Yeah, hopefully.
People,
I have Mayor Lauren Wheaton. This has been Rogers on Local Matters. We've got one more segment with her. We'll be back after this break in just a moment. All right.
Thank you. I'm glad.
Less than 12 minutes.
Yeah, I'm glad you let me explain
and
that.
Then we'll be out. So Dogwood Park, Fountain, Pickleball Court, Splash Pads, and more paving? We got more paving?
I mean, we're doing the 10th Street project.
Okay,
I'll mention some projects that involve TDOT because people are asking to improve these roads. Yeah.
Anything you want to talk about. All right. We'll start in three. Are you doing good over there?
Did you need anything? You good? Okay, yeah, you're fine. Don't die.
Don't die.
Yeah, I like you.
We'll start in 3, 2, 1. Welcome back to Local Matters. Ben Rogers here with Mayor Lauren Wheaton from the City of Cookeville, updating us on all things Cookeville. Mayor, we've talked about budget. We've talked about the parking changes. Great detail. I love that. I noticed on social media, I believe a couple of days ago, that Dogwood Park has made some improvements.
Yes,
what's going on there?
So we actually had a problem with the fountain. There was a big leak that happened, and with the leak, it actually corroded all of the stone that went around the fountain.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
And that is very specific stone. You can't just go buy some concrete, you know, pillars and put it up. Yeah. So we actually had to tear the entire thing down, fix the leak. And of course, you know, there's problems with getting parts and things like that. This company doesn't service it anymore. We've got to find someone else. And then we had to find the specific stone to go up around it, which that was the biggest hiccup. We couldn't get it in time to get it going. But we have had guys work around the clock over time. I think Parks and Recs was even putting up like tents to help the guys work, because we wanted to get it open, because we know people love that part of the park in the summertime. So it is open back up.
Good.
I do apologize that we had to fix it, but these things happen. So it's open back up. But, you know, we realize that that's such a great little, you know, area for kids, and having that fountain, that we've also had some more discussions about other things that we can do to add to the community for, you know, pickleball for one.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Yep. We're building those pickleball courts. It's happening at Cane Creek. That was another community ask. And I will not bring up the fact that I only lost one game in the entire pickleball competition, and it was to you.
It was to me.
No, hey,
I got lucky.
You did, but we got the championship trophy
at
the City Hall.
Yes. Yeah. Are we doing that again this season?
I hope so, because I need a rematch against you. Yeah, I got to start training.
Yeah, I hope so.
Maybe we can have it at our pickleball courts when we open them up.
Well, you gave me credit for the win over you, and I'm going to give you all credit for being first to the pickleball courts. Because the county.
Y'all are doing it as
well. We're doing it, but we're not going to be as quick as you all.
So no,
y'all got on it, and you know, the city, I can't brag on y'all enough, Parks and Rec, all your departments, y'all got on it, made a division, and y'all, October?
By October we should have it done.
Wow.
They're doing that. Yeah, we've got I think we finally had one of the design plans come in, and we asked the community as well about that. We asked our pickleballers, hey, what are some things you want to see for your courts? And they gave us feedback. So again, again, partnership in these projects that we do. So we're doing the pickleball court. So yes, we will have our rematch. We'll have the home court advantage. Thank goodness.
You will.
And then we're also looking at the option of doing a splash pad over there in that area.
Okay.
Cane Creek is a huge utilized park. We've got the gym over there. You've got the ball fields over there. And so we're looking at seeing if we could do a splash pad area over there. Pretty nice one too, that I'd like to see. Cause I'm a mom. I've got two small kids. My daughter is, she is voting yes on these splash pads.
Of course, I love it. We have a future politician in the room.
Right here.
Folks.
I vote yes for that. Yes. But I want to make sure we've got fun things for all ages in our community. And so that's something else we're looking at. Can we do a little splash pad over there? And we've got some design concepts that we're looking at now. So
I think have some people in the past gotten Dogwood Park confused as a splash pad?
They kind of mention it as a splash pad, which I guess it's got the features that splash up and it's got the fountain. And people do use it kind of like that. But
this is big. And,
this is one of your, like, you know, it's going to have the features. It's going to have the rocket that fills up and dumps over on you. It's going to have the slide. And we're going to make it very Cookeville oriented. So we'd love to have some things like Tennessee Tech. We've talked about, you know, we recently had the Tennessee Tech grad who is an astronaut up in space right now.
Yeah.
So honoring him with having the little rocket ship, you
That's
know, having
cool.
some orange and white in there as well to honor Tennessee. It hurts to say that. We'll also have some red and blue for the state of Tennessee, that flag. So all the colors will be in there.
So you can claim Ole Miss colors. Then,
I can.
You?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. They look
she
good.
She cringed just a little bit when she said that orange a lot. But no, I think that's great. So pickleball courts, splash pad nearby.
Yep. Right there nearby. Yeah. We've got a whole concept for that area. James is going to kill me because I never say the north end or the south end. If you're looking at Cane Creek Park, it's to the left there.
Okay.
It's the Cane Creek Gym. It's to the left there.
Okay.
That's where the pickleball courts are
Perfect.
Coming in. So back there behind that, putting in a little splash pad play area, another playground, something like that. You know, just really, really trying to improve the quality of life and the things that we have to offer our people who come to visit, but then our local people who live here too.
Can adults use a splash pad? Because if I'm playing pickleball in the middle of summer, I'm going to want to go right to the splash pad and get in it.
What do you think? Yes, 100%. I'll probably be in the splash pad as well when it gets as hot as it does, like it is recently.
Wow.
Yeah. But just so you know, just to make sure that we've got activities for all ages and for all people, and not just the tourists coming in, but also our locals as well.
I mean, y'all have a space at Cane Creek Park. People probably don't realize how much space you all have. I know you all talk, and you don't have to give me any other future plans that maybe are not official, but do you have more space to do things there in the future?
100%. We've actually had the opportunity to buy multiple sets of property that have been next to Cane Creek that we're expanding into. We actually got a grant, a huge grant that we're going to be expanding Cane Creek Park. We're going to put another walking trail. We've got a picnic pavilion. We actually just got a grant. This is really cool for trees for a food forest. You actually can buy trees that they have fruits, vegetables. Don't know what all fruits and vegetables grow on trees. Maybe you do. That's not a tree. A tomato's not a tree. Maybe it is. I don't know.
That's a plant.
It's a plant. Yeah, but we got a cool grant to actually make a food forest over in the Cane Creek area, right, where you can like actually go and pick fruit off a tree and take it home with you.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So, no, we're constantly looking at, again, road improvements. How are we improving the infrastructure? You know, partnerships with the county, with tech, with the hospital, things like that. And then, you know, quality of life improvements, too.
So, the walking path that's been at Cane Creek's really good. You know, you got a couple different ones. I'm going to tell on my wife. We used to go over there every now and then just to get, you know, we live on a ridge. We have all the space in the world to walk. It's, you know, we can walk 3 miles round trip and never see anybody, right? And it's a little bit more congested here lately. But we used to go to Cane Creek and do like boot camp and then go for a walk. And so one time she went and the geese, I won't try to attack her.
Oh, those are some mean geese.
Yeah. And so, and I think what happened is they just had
goslings, baby geese.
Is that it?
We'll go with that, sure.
Yeah, we're not
biologists
or anything like that. But just had some babies, and mama obviously felt threatened. And she chased my wife probably a good tenth or 2/10 of a mile.
Oh my goodness!
And she'd never go back. She'll never go back.
Now.
She will not do it.
Well, this walking trail is not going to be around the pond. It'll be up in the air. So hopefully, no attack geese will get you.
I'll let her know that. But that's just a funny story. She's going to kill me for that one.
I love it. I'm so sorry about that.
So, when will the completion on the splash pad be? Do you know?
Well, not sure yet. Okay. Yeah, that's something we're in the preliminary design phase looking at. We've had some designs brought to us, and so we'll have to work through that to see budget wise what we can do. But the whole council, you know, we're very much on board of doing something like that. Like, this council is a great council to work with. We all have the same vision. We may get to it differently and may have different ideas about it, but at the end, we're all just about making Cookeville a really great place to live.
And there's nothing wrong with getting to something differently, right?
I'm so glad when I hear someone else's difference of opinion, because I may not have even seen that viewpoint. And if you don't tell me, well, this is how I see it, how am I going to expand my horizon and expand, mm-hmm. my ability to see things differently? So I always appreciate when we have, not disagreements, when we have different views, because I normally take away something from that.
Yeah, I mean, we all can learn, right?
Yes, can learn, yes.
And
yes.
None of us
come
know.
To the table with an open mind.
Yeah, and so I'm kind of backtracking, but I just had a thought. You were talking about the law changing on public comment last year, right? And I think that's wonderful that we are mandated as a legislative body, council for you all, commission for us at the county, to allow people to speak on items that mm-hmm. are on agenda. And I think you all did that anyway, right?
We did it anyway. We always had a time at the end of the meeting where you could speak on any non-agenda items.
Yeah.
And then now, after any agenda item, I ask any comments from the public. And I want to hear, if you've got a comment, come talk to me. Yeah. I want to hear about it, because, again, it may not be something that even crossed my mind. And if I don't know about it, I can't try to do something about it.
Well, so our rules at the county... We let people speak before any agenda items so they can get their thoughts to the public and to the commission before it's voted on. And this past meeting on Monday, we had the discussion of the methadone clinic, which the city has not been involved because it was out in the county now.
So yeah, we had an issue with it. We realized our zoning was too restrictive, actually. And so we did change our zoning to make it, if that was an area in the city they found, there is zoning for it now. They found a location outside of the city.
Well, I just want to mention this to update people right quick. This city recovery asked for a certificate of need from the state. Mm-hmm. The state decides all this,
right?
We
literally have nothing. Even if it was in the city, we have no say over it.
Yeah,
is state control.
Yeah, you can say publicly, we don't want it or we do want it, mm-hmm. but that's it. The state may or may not take that in consideration. But in this case, I'm the chair of the commission, and I allowed six people total to speak, three that were asking for this to be located in the community, and three that were not, and very reputable people on all sides. We had doctors, we had people that runs the clinic, we have people that's been through treatment. It's such a great conversation. And the county commission did pass a resolution saying they did not want the clinic located in Putnam County, but it's up to the state. But I get to back to the point, public comment's necessary, especially when it comes to matters like this, because the reason I thought this up, we don't know everything, right?
Yeah, Lauren, no, we don't. Lord, no.
I learned so much the other night from them speaking.
Yeah.
I was informed, and it made me feel better, and I could process that and make a decision on my own. So I think it's great.
Yeah, but, I think we always want to make – we want to know that we're making a decision. We're making the most educated decision that we can, and I think we both do that. We make sure we go and find all perspective, all views, come together and try to make the decision that's best for the county or the city.
I think that's great. So what other projects y'all got? I think you got some paving.
We're doing a lot of paving right now. Yeah, we've actually got Rogers Group has given us a little bit more time with them, and so we are taking advantage of that. But I do want to remind people, a lot of the roads in the city are state highways. Mm-hmm. Jefferson, Willow, those are, ones that we can't do anything unless TDOT comes through. Now, we do go and we will tear them up beforehand and make sure we've got everything fixed underneath, so when they do come through and pave, we don't have to do it again. So you'll see some of that in certain areas. We've got Stephen Street project coming up that we're going to pave. I know it's a little bit of a hot mess. We're doing the 10th Street widening. So know that a lot of the roads that we can do, we're working on right now, but those big ones, Jefferson, Willow, state highways, we can't touch them. We've got to have TDOT work with us on that. And we do go to TDOT, have meetings with them, discuss what we need, and let them know what the needs of the city are, and hopefully partner with them to do things like that.
Yeah, and I think I'm glad you said that. It's important for people to know that those are state highways.
Yep.
You don't have a say on what happens
with
them.
Can't do a thing on
until
them.
Until they say,
yes. Yeah. And then you've got to wait on TDOT to actually make it happen.
Yeah.
Yes, so.
Mayor, thank you for being here.
Thank you. I always enjoy it. Anytime.
Yeah, it's great to hear from you. The information you have, the effort you put in, the dedication you have to the city and the council.
Thank you.
Does not go unnoticed, I promise you. And I'm saying that as a friend. I appreciate everything you do.
I appreciate it.
Thank you all for listening. It's been a great show with Mayor Wheaton. This has been Rogers on Local Matters. Folks, have a great weekend. Remember, it's a lot easier to smile than it is a frown. Make somebody's day. Be kind to somebody. Always be kind. It's the way to go.
Yes.
There's no reason to be mean. Go Vols.
Go Vols.
And Ole Miss.
And Hottie Toddy.
Yep. And we'll see you next week. Thank you. I was 15 seconds.